John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You just stop and think of the ways that the Lord has loved you. That you also love one another. We love one another exactly the way the Lord loved us. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now turn over here to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let us notice verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. He commands us to love one another. It's not an option. It's a command that we love one another. So that's what we want to start with in this series, is loving one another. And then we'll be preaching on washing one another's feet. And then receiving one another, edifying one another, do not judge one another, bear one another's burdens, serve one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, prefer one another, show hospitality one to another. Lie not to one another. And biting and devouring one another. And so that will be, Lord willing, what we'll be preaching the next few weeks on Wednesday nights. And so we see here that we're commanded to love one another. Love one another is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament, and we'll be covering several of those. And so, if we get along with the Lord, we'll get along with our brothers and sisters. And so, this is a command from God that we love one another. It's impossible to love the Lord if you hate your brother. Impossible. And we must understand that Christian love is not an emotional feeling that we manufacture. Christian love means this, that we treat each other the way that the Lord treats us. We treat each other the way that the Lord treats us. And so, God so loved that He gave. And we give our love. God's love was not a sentimental love or a feeling. God's love expressed itself in action. In action. And so, our love is an act of our will.
we will to treat each other the way the Lord treats us. He loved us when we were unlovable. Did He not? He loved us when we were unlovable. You say, well, they're not too lovable. Neither are we sometimes. But we love that brother and sister the way that He loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. And so we love our brothers and sisters, even though they're unlovable. We still love them. You say, that's pretty hard to do. Well, how does the Lord put up with us sometimes? When we're so unlovable. But we'll love one another. And so how does God treat us? He forgives us. And so we forgive one another. God is kind to us. So we're kind to one another. The Lord receives us, and so we receive one another. And so I'm going to have a difficult time washing your feet if I don't love you. I'm going to have a difficult time forgiving you if I don't love you. Isn't that right? We willingly and deliberately treat each other the way that the Lord treats us. How'd you get that? We willingly and deliberately treat each other the way the Lord treats us. You say, man alive, this is going to make a big difference. It will if we heed it. So the first reason that we should love one another is because God commands it. He commands. It's not an option with us. I'll love you if you love me. I'll be good to you if you be good to me. No, it doesn't work that way. And so He gave us the perfect example of love by the life that He lived and by His death. He set the perfect example how that we are to live, how we are to love each other. Now, notice in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so Paul was discussing in this chapter our relationship to government and our relationship to the law. So love helps us to fulfill the law. So love is the motivation for our obedience. You're going to have a hard time obeying the law of God without love. Now, notice also in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Let's notice verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another. Every man here loves their wife more today than they loved her when they first married. Isn't that right? I believe that's true. And he says here, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. So our love one toward another ought not to diminish. It ought to increase and it ought to abound more and more every day. Shouldn't it? And toward all men, even as we do towards you. Now, notice also in the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter. Here in verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God to love one another. God teaches us, every one of us, every person that He saves by the grace of God, He teaches us this love. It is there. Isn't it? He teaches us to love one another. You say, well, I have a hard time loving her. I have a hard time loving him. God says, I taught you to love him. And I've taught you to love her. God puts that love in our heart the day that He saves us. Isn't that right? And so, I believe there's always room for more love. Every one of us want to be loved. And so God the Father here has taught us to love one another. And God the Father loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh man. I don't imagine there's a man here that would give up his son, even one of his sons. But God gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved, that we might be a member of His church. What love! The Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to love one another by giving His very life. He so loved us. He so loved us. What love? You talk about being unlovable. I did not deserve to be saved. I did not deserve it. But He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus willingly went to the cross of Calvary, bled and suffered and died that you might be saved by the grace of God. You're here tonight and lost without the Lord. The Lord loved you. He loved you so much that He died on the cross of Calvary for you. And He says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You say, you mean that's all I have to do is just receive Him? That's right. Come to Him in repentance and faith, trusting in Him as your personal Savior. And so Jesus taught us by His own life to love one another. God the Holy Spirit, who lives within each one of us, teaches us to love one another. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, he says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So God the Father has taught us to love one another. Jesus has taught us to love one another. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to love one another. Now, back here where we started in John chapter 13, I'd like to read verse 35. "By this shall all men know that you love, that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I believe this is one way that people can tell that we're saved, is that we'll love one another. What makes a true Christian? What makes a true Christian? I'm talking about a Christian. Carrying a Bible? No. Anybody can carry a Bible. Singing our hymns? Anyone can sing. Going to church? Anybody can do that. So what is it that identifies true Christians? True Christians will love one another. I believe that is a distinguishing mark of a Christian, is that they'll love one another. Now, notice also in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice verse 22 and 23. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another." See that you love one another. How? "With a pure heart fervently." And so the new nature of God that's within us gives us the power to love. I believe this is part of our new birth. My old nature is not very loving. It loves those things that are wrong. But when the Lord saves us by the grace of God, He gives us a new nature. And with that new nature comes love. You all probably noticed that right away, didn't you? Huh? I mean, immediately you started loving God. You started loving the Lord. You started loving going to church. And there was a bond there with your brothers and sisters in the Lord that is so much different than the love that we have for our own families. I mean, before you never loved the preacher, and now you love the preacher. You didn't want to be around the preacher, but now you love to be around the preacher. You like to talk about the things of God. And the Lord puts that there when He gives us that new nature. And we will love one another. Now, notice in Titus. Notice in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Y'all remember that? Now we have that new nature. Now we love one another. And so, when you're saved by the grace of God, that hate is gone. And the love moves in. Now, notice in back here in 1 Peter again. I know I'm going back and forth here, but in chapter 1 and verse 22, let's read that verse again. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That will be a mutual love. That will be a unified love. And unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And so, if there's going to be fervent love from our hearts, my heart is going to have to be pure. Isn't that what that's saying? Unfeigned means sincere, not artificial. It'll be sincere love. It won't be put on love. It won't be artificial love. Yeah. Can't you all tell that when somebody's putting that on? Huh? I can tell that. And so, it just won't be talk. There'll be action. There'll be action. And it'll be manifested from a pure heart. It'll be sincere. It'll be pure. It'll be fervent. I've never had love from a church, I guess, like I've experienced here in the last few days. And I trust that that love will continue. It'll abound. And it'll increase. More and more. And I believe that every bit of it was sincere love. I believe that's what it ought to be. And so, in 1 John, there are 5 verses, and we mentioned some of them earlier. Let's go back and we'll read them again. Notice in 1 John, in chapter 3, and let's notice verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Man, that's pretty stout, isn't it? I notice in verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, notice in chapter 3 and verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, on His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. How? as He gave His commandment. It's not an option. It's a command. So when we're not loving our brothers and sisters, we're sinning against the Lord. It's a command that we love one another. Now, let's notice in chapter 4. In chapter 4. And let's notice verse 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Man, that's pretty stout, isn't it? Huh? That gets right down where we live. He that loveth not knoweth not God. If you don't love, you're not saved. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Now, notice in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Notice verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, nobody can see God. But they can see God's children. How do you display this love? If people are supposed to see this love, how do they see it in you? Now, He just tells us that they'll be able to see that love. How do they see it in you? And I believe the world is looking at God's people, and they cannot see that they love one another. They're bickering. They're fussing. They're fighting. Devouring one another. That doesn't coincide with what we've read today. Doesn't go along with what we've preached. And so the world looks at us and says, look how they disagree with one another. Look how they are fighting one another. And boy, I'll tell you what, us Baptists are good at that. Now, notice in, I believe it's 2 John, in verse 5, yes. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, all of this has got to be practiced. It's all got to be practiced. I believe we'll put it into practice. If we love one another, we're going to treat one another the way the Lord treats us. So that's our message tonight. I believe it's a good one to start out with. Loving one another. Because it's awful easy for us not to see this and not to practice this. I'm not going to give in. No way.
No, they got to come to me first. And that's the way we do sometimes. They talk to me, I'll talk to them. They love me, I'll love them. That isn't the way the Lord loved us. Not at all. Now, I just got here. If y'all got any hard feelings toward one another, and that love isn't there like it should be, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go to one another and say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I haven't been loving you like God told me to love you. And I love you." Why is it so hard for us to say, "I love you"? Huh? Why is it? Those are some precious words. It doesn't hurt us to say, "Brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank God for you." I'll tell you what, that'll make a strong church. It will. And I don't think there's anything. The way you all been manifesting your love toward us, I'm sure you're doing that to one another. We trust that you are. If you're not, get those things right with the Lord first. Then ask the Lord to give you grace to do what you need to do. You're here tonight, you're not saved. Never trusted the Lord as your Savior. The devil's got you tricked, fooled. You think you're saved. Deep down you know you're not. Let me tell you something. It's not worth it to fake it. All eternity depends on you repenting of your sins and pleading your faith and trust in the Lord. Trust Him. He could come back tonight. What a thought. He could come back tonight. Are you saved? Do you want to be ready when He comes? Trust the Lord. And that's it. Trust Him. That's what I'm depending on to get to heaven. What are you depending on? What are you depending on to get to heaven? You answer that right now. That morning I was saved, I stepped out, and I trusted Him 100%. That's what I'm trusting today. What He did for me on the cross of Calvary. The Lord brought me to that place. To where I was able to do that. I was able to just step out and say, "I'm trusting the Lord as my Savior." Didn't believe it all those years. I was saved when I was 24 years old. But I hadn't done that. And I didn't believe that. And He granted that all to me. And I'm not going to go through and explain every little teeny point. Because none of us understood that a minute before we were saved. Because all you knew that you were lost and He's on your way to hell and you wanted the Lord to save you and you just stepped out and you trust Him as your personal Savior. And that's what it's all about. Maybe the Lord has brought you to the place tonight to where you would just like to step out by faith and say, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting you. And just step out, just trust Him. Just trust Him. Can you believe that? Can you believe what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary? Can you trust in that as your hope and only hope of eternal life?